Services Inc. Association Flint01.co.uk presents the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast number 144, and it's Christmas!
Yay!
Merry Christmas!
Merry, you were supposed to say Merry Christmas, and then I was going to say it's Merry Lang Gag.
I did say Merry Christmas.
You said Happy Christmas that time.
No, I didn't.
I didn't.
Oh, okay then. Oh, never mind, I give up on that one. Right then, it's Christmas!
Merry Christmas! Hey.
That's the one! That's Merry Lang. Yeah. It's all gone quiet over there. Right, so, I think
when
Robert,
you least want us to, we all go quiet.
Yes, right. Yeah. Shh. Hey, I thought because Deb's still up and I think she wants to get some sleep, so she doesn't want to hear lots of audio stuff going on in the background, other than me talking, of course, that it might be a good idea to crack straight on with the audio messages we have received.
Well, who all is here?
Oh, okay. Well, it's obviously Mary's here. We know that. That was clearly Kirby Bartlett Sloan saying who's all here. Well, he must know that he's here and Mary's here. That
leaves There's Robert. Something on your back.
Oh, I see. You wanted to do the old... shall I start again then? Okay, right. And we've got with us this week, Mary Lang.
We are alive today thanks to the doctor.
We have Rhys Parton.
Chan, hi there, Toe. Oh, sorry, wrong episode.
Robert.
I was going to do that.
Robert Haynes. This is the longest hello ever. Robert Haynes.
Hello.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Om mani padme hum. Oh, wrong spider on the back.
Oh, dear. It's going to be one of those days.
Yep.
It certainly is, right, Lind?
And like little puppies with wet noses, we're just waiting for you to lead the way.
Thank you.
What did you call me?
I don't quite know what you mean by that, but thank you very much. Right.
Eagerly awaiting the master's voice.
Oh dear.
I am the master. You will obey me.
You will obey me. Well, it's true, actually.
That's
you
much
will.
Better, actually.
Okay, right.
You will obey me.
Now, you're going to hear yourself if you talk over this, but hey ho. This is some audio feedback from somebody. Hey-ho. Who I forgot to play the theme tune of last week. Sorry.
Captain.
It was not a bit.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Turn Left by Russell T. Davis. We see Donna's card again. I think it is Persia 207. The fortune teller never does tell Donna anything about the future. She persuades Donna to change the past by turning right. The trickster, who employs the fortune teller, gains energy by creating a parallel universe. This is a bit like the Weeping Angels gaining energy by sending people back in time. Donna's mother says Donna thinks she will meet a man at H.C. Clements who will change her life. This is what had happened. She met the doctor.
Aha!
There are three parallel universes. The regular one, the one Rose inhabits, and one Donna experiences in this episode. Rose is back.
What,
how can
what
I
about
say
Rose is back?
She just won't go.
Alright. It's more interesting about Donna's life.
The doctor never meets Donna. Without her advice, he dies fighting the Rachnos spider creature. We see what happens to the other alien invasions without the doctor. Sarah Jane and her team confront the Hemavore and they're killed. Jack and his Torchwood team fight the Sontarans. Jack is exiled on the Sontaran homeworld. Notice how Mr. Chowdhury is the only one who speaks in his scenes.
Yes.
Anyone who utters a word is classed as an actor and gets a better financial deal.
Yeah, that's true.
Rose's unit helped Donna to go back in time. She stops her previous self turning right by throwing herself under a lorry and creating a traffic jam. Donna finds herself back with a fortune teller who says, "What are you? What will you become?" This is a whole reference to Donna becoming half-time lord.
Yes, indeed.
TARDISWiki.com points out that Rose refuses to reveal her name and objects to being saluted by UNIT and says, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry." or yes. characteristics of the Doctor. The yeah. same site points out that in this episode, the Doctor dies and the world is being destroyed until Donna throws herself under a lorry. In Father's Day, Pete Tyler does not die and the world is being destroyed until he throws himself under a car.
Aha!
Mm. The world did not end on December the 21st at the end of the Inca calendar. Not the Incas, the Mayans. I get those two confused. The Incas practiced human sacrifice, which made them the most feared of the newspaper trade unions.
Oh, God.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Back Christmas to you too, Ian.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Merry Christmas.
I hope I don't get into trouble for that particular piece of music. Not copyright trouble, of course. Bit too loud for the wife trouble, but hopefully it won't be the case.
Oh, okay. Right, because I was going to say, Robert and I were laughing over it. Barely hear it.
Yes.
Right. I've got another audio. I've got another audio yes, message, and you can hear yourself, and that's making you stop speaking, isn't it? I do like this.
This is Matthew from North Alabama sending in feedback on the Series 4 episode, Turn Left. With the advent of the new series, viewers were introduced to an intriguing new phenomenon known as the Doctor Light episode.
Yes.
These episodes, yes. often done for reasons of production convenience, gave viewers the potential to see the Doctor Who universe from an entirely new perspective. These episodes have proven to be both controversial, such as Love and Monsters, and quite popular, such as Blink. But perhaps the most unique of those episodes is Turn Left. This is perhaps surprising when you consider an often overlooked fact that, as I'm sure Mary will remember, I brought up on a panel at Chicago TARDIS about a month ago. The fact is that this is a clip show, plain and simple. By Davies' own admission, this episode exists because of the realization that the mill had old, and therefore previously expensive, CGI sequences sitting on their computers and his decision to put them to use. But there is far more to this episode than that. Davies has managed to take elements from Series 3 and 4 and to weave them together into an alternate timeline story. From the events of the Runaway Bride onward, we get a glimpse into a world without our favorite Time Lord. It's a world where everything goes downhill and many of our favorite characters are left to pick up the pieces. In doing that, Davies shows us just how important the Doctor really is in a manner we really haven't seen since the parallel universe plot in Inferno way back in 1970. We see the consequences of the Doctor's actions from an entirely new perspective, and we garner a new appreciation for them. Turn Left also gives Catherine Tate her best chance to show off her acting chops, and she does beautifully in this episode. Yes, the Donna of this episode makes a journey from an unassuming temp to a person willing to be the only one who can save the world. Tate's performance here calls back not just to The Runaway Bride, but to the early episodes of Series 4 as well. In this single episode, Tate, Davies, and director Graham Harper sum up not just the journey that Donna's made, but who the character really is. The result is Tate's single best performance in her entire time on Doctor Who.
Then
there's the triumphant
that.
Return of Billy Piper as Rose Tyler after several episodes of glimpses. Piper's return is in top form for the role she left in Doomsday, taking on what is effectively the Doctor's job in getting Donna to realize the destiny she has to fulfill. Yep. Davies could have chosen the easy way out in writing this episode and simply made it about the return of Rose Tyler. But instead, he creates a sense of mystery around Rose. Nobody calls her by her name throughout the entire episode, for example. Mm-hmm. In a way, it's the beginning of the Davies Roundup that would come in Stolen Earth and Journey's End. But the Davies Roundup doesn't just start with Rose, but also with the twist at the end of this episode. The moment Rose reappears, we know that something is up, but it isn't really until the final minute that what is wrong becomes obvious. The result is that, like Utopia the previous year, that this is what seemed at first to have been a fascinating little one-off story that has bigger implications. Turn Left might be a Doctor Light episode, but it's also one of the most unique episodes of the new series. By being Doctor Light, we get a chance to see two things we normally don't see. A what-if story where we see a world without the Doctor and a companion's entire story arc summed up in 45 brilliant minutes. Bravo to Catherine Tate and Russell T. Davies. Well done indeed. Best wishes and a Merry Christmas to everyone at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast from Matthew Kressel.
And Merry Christmas to you too, Matthew. And,
yes, Merry Christmas, Matthew.
Sorry about the
Thank you, Matthew. That's
the interruption good. There when Alicia phoned me up to go and pick her up.
From a smacker.
Ringtone for Alicia.
Pardon?
That's a quite unique ringtone for Alicia.
Well, it's a spot-on ringtone for her, really. Yes, so it's typical of her. She's gone to get her nails done. She expects me to go and pick her up. She's only about 5 minutes walk away, but it is dark, I suppose, 8:25 in the evening. She might scare some members of the public, so I might have to go and get her. But not before, of course, playing our next bit of audio, which goes something like this.
You have a message connecting you. Now,
this is Jim Wolfish calling the 20 Megabyte Podcast. I've hotwired an all-terrain vehicle, and I'm escaping from the clutches of the two-headed alien, Anton Deck. It looks like I'm heading into the frozen wastes of the jungle planet, Lostralia. I guess I should have taken that left turn at New Albuquerque. Well, it looks like the wintry wastes of the jungle planet, Lostralia, have been too much for Anton Deck. He's given up. But now I'm being chased by a gang of scary snowmen. So I'd better say goodbye. This is Jim the Fish, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
On the dark day of Christmas, the doctor sent me fish, fingers, and custard, and I root on the loo, Amy and Rory, a pan, Dory Pa, and a pair of ducks, and a pear tree.
Your message has ended. Have a nice Christmas Day.
Well, Merry Christmas, Jim and Lewis.
Yes, thank you very much, Jim the Fish, for taking the time to record that. Yeah, not much more I can say to that, although I did think for a moment that I was dreaming.
Yeah, that was a much, much more painful feedback than usual.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. Oh, dear. Right. Let's see what Alicia has to say for herself. I've got to phone her up now.
Hello, Daddy. Can you pick me up, please?
That's what she's already said, actually.
Oh, that's very good, Robbie.
Yeah, I thought that was her.
But you've got to say it with your mouth full of pizza.
I had a toasted cheese sandwich.
Well, that's close enough.
Well, I expect she's walking. She's not answering the phone now.
This is the Vodafone voicemail service for...
Oh, God. I'll just say call me back in 10 minutes. Let's try again. All right.
Vodafone message service for God. What?
I've heard.
Well, if she doesn't answer this time, she'll just have to walk.
Oh.
Dad, can you pick me up a pizza on the way home?
Pizza!
She's already eaten.
This is a
Right, that's it. I gave her a chance. Anyway, right.
Why would
normally,
she not answer when you phone?
I did say, I was doing audio feedback. Can you give me a ring back in 10 minutes? It was less than 10 minutes, so I tried to phone her back. So I've done my part of the bargain. And at the moment, I'm wearing a reindeer onesie and don't really relish the idea of going out in public wearing it.
What a picture. You got to send that over the Facebook.
I haven't got to send that, to be fair. I think avoid sending it would probably be a more...
Your mental pictures of it are probably too rich for the real picture to do justice.
What kind of pictures do you have?
I don't know what you mean.
A reindeer onesie. That is too precious.
Christmas. Although, it's funny because Isabella went to sleep before I got a chance to actually to wear it. Dee dee, I'm just fiddling around with the Mac at the moment. Oh dear, it looks like I'm going to have to do some editing on this episode.
Yes, you are.
Oh, yeah, quite a bit.
I mean, quite a bit.
Well, there are long pauses where we're doing nothing.
That's right.
No. There's long pauses when where you're doing nothing. I think you're getting completely mixed.
I can't hear anything you're doing, so I think you're doing nothing.
No. Yeah. Listening to you lot doesn't constitute doing nothing. Well, it does if
well,
you're
we
actually a listener to this particular podcast.
The master of the tangled cords has spoken.
Right?
Ah. So that's why she shut off her phone. She's in a mood.
She shut up. She didn't bother answering it. That's a completely different thing.
I have three teenage girls. I'm aware of the moods.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet you they're nowhere near as bad as the moods I have to put up with.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Teenagers are the same all over.
Oh, you utter idiot.
I'm sorry.
No.
And which one were you addressing that to?
Me. God. Right. It's just, well, I haven't got work tomorrow. Right. How did I get that thing? It's called Photo Booth. Right. Do you know what I did? Right. I'll tell you what I did. I went to all that trouble of taking this picture without my reindeer part of it actually on view. So it's just basically a picture of me with a pair of headphones on. Alright, where's my tingle?
Here we come.
Hang on, I'll find him. Ah, here, I found me a bit for the reindeer. I've got to try and do this before Alicia comes in and ruins the aestheticness of it. Right.
Well, maybe Alicia will get a better distance picture so we can get the whole outfit.
Right. Well, you get her coming in shouting at me saying, "Why did you pick me up?"
Yeah.
Right. I'm trying to get my antlers straight, but they're not really antlers. I don't know what they are, actually. Reese,
I left it as a comment on your right. on your Facebook page.
3, 2, 1, cheese! There we go.
Are you putting on the 20 megabyte? I'm attempting to, yes. Okay.
Well, and I'm multitasking as well because I'm completely wasting time doing this, but there we go.
I thought you were saying you're completely wasted.
That too.
Okay. How much energy
need to
you
be to be in here?
Yeah. It's going to cut out a huge chunk.
Right. It's uploading again. Oh. And
drum roll.
Shush.
I keep clicking.
Right.
Reload.
Here we go. And it's posting. Now.
Not yet.
When? Yes, it is. It's there. It's definitely on there.
Oh, yes. Yes. It just said you added a new photo.
Yes, it's me.
Let's have a look. Me recording this. My goodness.
Stop laughing. It's not that funny.
It's lovely.
I don't
get
see
out
it
in
yet.
The sun, Adam. Get
sorry?
Out in the sun, Adam.
Be quiet. Oh, yeah. I did say the flash went off.
Yeah.
It's blinding.
It is.
By the line. I have nothing yet. Apparently I haven't made it to our server.
It's on Adam's page.
Is it my, no, it's not. I better not be. It should be on a 20 megabyte page.
It is, actually.
It's on your page.
On your page.
Oh, there you are.
Are you finally trying to come pick me up, then?
No, I said to call me back in 10 minutes. Did you?
No.
Thanks, sir.
Bye.
So you're walking then, are you?
By Chippehoy.
Oh, so you might as well walk from Chippehoy up here. It's only like 2 minutes away.
I know.
Get some pizza from the home.
And get some chips. If you think your mother's going to do your hair...
Why? I'm just wondering if she's gone to bed.
No, she's still up.
Okay, I'm at my point now. I don't want to wind her up or anything, and she's really tired.
That would be a good plan.
I'm going to ask if you can do it tomorrow for me.
Yes, well, yeah, whatever you do, do not mention anything to do with having your hair done at 20 to 9 in the evening when she wants to go to bed.
I don't want my hair done at 20 to 9 in the evening.
That's good then.
Just some pizza.
Okay.
Can I get on with recording the show now?
And some pizza.
You're only 5 minutes away, yet you sound like you're in Scotland. Goodbye. Bye. Oh, she's gone.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you so posted that on your... You posted it on your personal page. You need to post it on the 20 megabyte page. Or share it over there.
Embarrassing.
It. You can see it in that page too.
I don't want it to be on my personal page.
Too late.
It's gone viral.
Where's that share button?
Hang on, where's that delete button? Delete photo. There we go. It's gone. I've deleted it.
No.
Oh, and I never got to see it.
Right. Here we go. Attempt number 3. There's a master laugh.
You're the master, are you?
Right.
Oh my god, there's so much editing to be done with this one.
You really?
Are you going to do it for me?
Be this...
No.
Here we go.
It's going to be this huge chunk taken out. Coming up.
There we go. Oh, we've got a new member. Didn't realise that. 127. Ooh. Who is that then?
Oh,
who? Don't know. Says one new.
That's not the doctor.
No, it's Paudy Byrne, added by. Pardon?
But Paudy... I thought he was already a member.
So did I.
I thought he was too.
Or maybe he left and came back again. Nevertheless, he's a member now. Oh, no. That's all right.
You added him, Mary.
And that's just funny that there's a thing that says Debbie Pearson added a photo of you, and it's a picture of me standing up in the same. Same. What are you laughing for? Oh god, here comes Alicia.
Uh-oh.
Alright. Just going to be on the show this week, have we?
Ask if she picked up some pizza.
We're doing turn left. You having your weekly bath? Good timing.
Weekly bath?
Don't bother shutting the door or anything, will you? Anyway, right. Will you stop? What?
She told me she was up.
Well, she's gone to bed then. I didn't know. Stop. Open the door. God's sake.
Tell Alicia Merry Christmas from me.
Oh, Alicia. Henry. Alicia. What? Reese and Mary say Happy Christmas.
What?
Reese and Mary said Happy Christmas.
Oh, Merry Christmas. I do too.
So does Kirby.
And where's my pizza?
And where's Robert? Never mind.
Good cosplay of the garb from Terminus.
I beg your pardon.
Yes, just posted that under your picture.
Where's that delete button again?
We love it.
Anyway.
Wait, that way.
I'm getting hot flush again now. It's a very warm onesie.
I'm stepping away for just a few minutes. I'll be back.
It's not that funny, Mary.
I too.
That's priceless.
Oh, what a Christmas gift.
Back to Doctor Who. Reese, can you lend Robert your Ventolin, please?
It's that comment.
Which one?
Cosplay for the garb from Terminus. Oh, I gotta wipe away the tears. If you've seen Terminus, the garb has got to be one of the most ineffectual sort of creatures. It's like a cuddly bear. Oh, that comment just cracks me up, though.
Have we started talking?
Oh, you're back. Oh, Mary's back. Maybe knock my microphone over again.
And front and sides.
Oh. I had a big mug of tea just before starting all of this, and it's had its effect.
I see.
There's the garm.
The garm. See?
I don't want to see the garm.
Happy to find a photo of it, too.
I don't remember that.
Found one.
Do not remember the garm wearing a pair of headphones and having a red nose.
Oh, no, it looks just like it.
It's got red eyes.
Rudolph Red Garm.
Speaking of, are we recording yet?
We've been recording for the last 28 minutes.
Speaking of Christmas carols, has anyone seen the Santarin carols yet?
No. Yes, where do we see them?
I posted a link on the Facebook page. Just scroll down.
I haven't seen them yet, but I've been a bit busy.
It's only a minute long, but it's hilarious.
Okay.
So the post says Song Taran Carols. It was part of...
Oh, I saw that posting. Yeah, I didn't look at it, though.
It's hilarious.
I'm busy opening things that won't open.
Oh, yeah? What, like presents?
No.
Well, it's Christmas.
You know,
not Christmas yet. Mary, wait.
Opening video clips that tell me, sorry, this video clip is not available to you.
Enough of this frivolity. Can we get on with the show?
Aw.
Right. Right.
Well,
this week...
Talking about the new episode, do we want to say when we're going to record for the Christmas episode?
We normally
are we
do that at
wait?
The end of the show, don't we? I don't know.
We wait till the end of the show.
Yeah, we usually wait till the end of the show.
Okay. I figured since he's going to cut all this out anyway, I thought we could decide
who
that.
Who says I'm going to cut it all out?
Yeah, who says? I made a great joke during that. He's not going to cut that.
Okay.
I like
hang on,
comment,
hang on. I've
right?
got a thread. Oh, there's a thread come out of my onesie. Oh, flaming neck.
Is that what you call
don't
it?
Don't pull it too hard. It'll all come apart.
Don't pull it. Yes.
It'll become a doozy.
Right. Hang on. I've just got to send a message to someone. Bear with me a minute.
If you do pull it, we want to see the after picture.
Oh. You speak for yourself, Mary.
Everybody's a comedian, aren't they?
No, it's you who's the butt of our jokes.
Take a look.
Yes, I can see that. I can see why Wes and Wendell left the Omega podcast now. This week, listeners, we're looking at Turn Left, and I'll be turning right and walking straight out the door and let them get on with it in a minute.
Right. All
right.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
To the kitchen. Actually, go into the other room and watch the lovely Christmas Adam programmes. I call this day, it's 23rd December, Christmas Adam, because obviously tomorrow's Christmas Eve. Hang on, what's happened to this computer?
Today is Christmas Eve.
Hang on, what's going on here? I nearly lost my recording source then, because the dog knocked the table. Yeah, no, it's Christmas source. Adam. Tomorrow's Christmas... Oh, he's moving again. I'm going to bloody get him. Will you stop fidgeting?
Sorry.
Yeah.
He keeps knocking the table and disconnecting the power supply to my...
I think it's us fidgeting.
To my recording device.
I'm looking around thinking it's a video cast, you know?
Like, oh. Anyway. There's been very good pictures actually posted recently. Obviously, one of that picture of me full length shot of the onesie. Next to a Christmas tree. Have you noticed, if you get a chance to see that picture of me in my onesie standing next to the Christmas tree, the star on top of the Christmas tree is very reminiscent of the star that appears in this story, the Ragnus sort of star
good
thing.
Good segue.
Yes.
And also, there was also a picture this morning I posted of Magic next to a biscuit tin that looked a bit like him.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Thank
no,
you.
I
haven't
commented
said,
on it.
I know you commented on it. But Star tried to steal the limelight by looking nothing like a biscuit tin in the background.
That's right.
Although she was the same colour as the biscuits within the tin, which were delicious. Oh, what? I have a text.
But you ate the dog biscuits.
Kurt.
Yeah.
Makes me wonder if we're ever going to get to this episode.
I don't think we are. That's the curse of Christmas.
Well, I would do if you lot had shut up. Right, here we go. Woo! Turning Left by Russell T. Davis.
We're just having our staff Christmas party.
Yeah.
What? Oh, you made me remember. I was going to get a glass of sherry to drink while doing this episode.
No, I wouldn't do that.
We should all do that.
Don't drink your podcast.
I've already
we
had.
We should all do that, and this thing will go into the gutter right away.
Whatever. So it suits the TARDIS tavern. Why should it not suit this show?
Isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
I've already had the mince pies.
Why should they have all the fun?
Indeed.
Oh, I want a mince pie now.
Mince
I'm
pie.
I'm not allowed to drink.
With extra thick double cream.
Oh.
Ooh.
Although the ones we had were with vanilla ice cream earlier on today. Hot mince pie or vanilla ice cream.
Welcome to the 20 megabyte food and tangent podcast.
Christmas, Reese. It's Christmas.
Oh, it's Christmas. And you're going to post more pictures of your food, are you?
Well, you're welcome.
Maybe. Who's rustling? Who's?
Or your
I've got magic thread. Flap in his ear. Somebody's messing around with their microphone.
Some boxes.
What are you doing?
Playing drums.
Wrapping our presents.
Good one, Reese.
Well, it's Christmas and New Year, so it's time for Adam's annual pictures of his plates of food.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't promise anything, but it's not going to be much different from last weeks. Year's plate of food. It's Christmas dinner, for goodness sake.
Anyway.
Turn Left by Russell T. Davis, which does have Christmas in it. Does have Christmas in it, thank God.
It starts off
on an alien world which looks a bit like China. And I don't know if it's...
It looks like a back alley in Cardiff that has Chinese flags draped all over it.
That was 5 seconds, Kirby.
I think it's supposed to look like China. However, if you think of the China depicted in Torchwood, I don't think it looks too dissimilar.
Actually, since I've actually been in China, it does look like some places in China. So.
Well, they do their research at the BBC, you know.
They do.
I'm sure they've had a couple of Chinese people on the show, including the woman who plays...
Now, speaking of ice cream, those drinks that the doctor and Donna are drinking, someone was saying something about ice cream a minute ago.
Yeah, we were talking about ice cream and mince pies, yes.
Yes, those drinks ice happen cream. To be Coke floats.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
They look yummy.
Yeah, anyway, she mentioned that it during the commentary.
Did anybody notice the irony in the fact that the woman who plays Chan Tho, who was an insect, is a little sort of
scared by
helping an insect. Oh, okay. Well,
yes.
So basically Donna sightseeing.
Doctor and the Donna?
Be quiet, or I'm going to get cross. They're sightseeing, and they split up, and Donna is sort of tempted to go into some sort of like soothsayer.
Fortune teller,
that's the sort of thing.
Tattoo parlor, wasn't it?
Whatever. Anyway, she starts telling Chan Tho about... A big decision in her life where she changed direction, where one thing could have happened or another thing could happen, where she actually originally turned left, and she manages to persuade, with the help of a little funny insecty person who is called a spider later on, but looked more like a beetle to me, to actually change direction.
I saw a comment someplace where they did model it on the actual spider from Sarah Jane's back.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
It's much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Didn't look anything like a spider to me. But it's an alien spider, I suppose. Anyway, so it's Christmas.
Hey,
so she changes
the
direction.
The staff, didn't they?
They could
have made a backpack out of that and sold it.
They could.
I think they did it. That's what they used in the episode.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the episode. Yes, she's changed direction, and so her history changes. So she's now at the Christmas party. This is the theme I was talking about.
Now, by the way, Catherine Tate cannot drive.
She is sitting in
the car, but she's not really driving.
Well, that's interesting.
She's out there at the corner all the time.
Yeah,
exceptional. Exceptional driving acting then from
there,
Catherine
No,
Tate.
there's a stand-in who does the driving.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really? She honestly can't drive?
Correct.
She honestly can't drive. Anyway, can we get back to the episode?
Public transport, isn't it, Adam, in the UK?
Yeah, never mind. So she's in the pub, and one of her friends, who's a bit psychic, sees something on her back.
Ongoing
theme. Meanwhile, outside, a great big star whizzes across the sky. Of course, that's the Rachnos ship that starts killing people and that. Everybody runs in the opposite direction, but Donna decides to run after it.
I noticed all their Christmas cracker paper crowns. I've got to go buy some Christmas crackers tomorrow.
Yeah, but if you come into our shop, we're sold out. Anyway, Donna overhears about the unit soldiers talking about the death of the doctor, and he drops his sonic screwdriver. Pretty clever where he's dead, but he did nevertheless. And it's quite nice where the lighting on that, actually, because it sort of lit up, and then of course the lights move away from it, and it looks like it's just died. It goes black. Because I thought that was quite a clever shot. That, and then she just walks away from the scene, and in the background, Rose.
And Billy Piper shows up.
Rose turns up.
With just funny teeth. Very big teeth.
Too late. She has got funny teeth.
Funny
now.
Teeth.
Yes.
Yeah, she looks a bit like that character from the Banana Splits. Bingo.
What?
Was it Bingo, the one with the big teeth?
I don't know.
Flegel. La, 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 la.
Bingo, Flegel, oh. Drooper, and Stork.
You know, the Banana Splits.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Was it Bingo? Bingo, Flegel, Drooper, and Stork. Snork. It would have been Snork, would it? Was it the one that played drums? It was Bingo then, wasn't it? No? Okay.
I think so. I think you're right, Adam. I think
it's Bingo. I'm gonna stick with Bingo. She looked very much like Bingo from the Banana Splits in this episode.
She sounded very much like David Tennant, shushing her eshes like that.
Yeah.
She was so sorry.
She does. She talks a little funny in this, like she's got cotton in her mouth.
You know why? It's because she was struggling to capture the accent that she hadn't used for such a long time.
Because she was struggling to speak around those fake teeth they gave her.
Anyway,
she had to watch videos of herself, the DVDs.
She did, yes.
She did indeed.
Funny.
Anyway, that's what we're saying. Hang on, just make sure my microphone's still recording. It is. She has an argument with Rose. Very quick argument. And Rose goes off into the sunset. Oh, sorry, the moonset. Meanwhile, after the job.
I have a question.
Go on in.
Did Donna meet the guy that she married in that Arachnus episode at H.C. Clements? Because I'm wondering, why isn't she married in
Lance,
this?
Wasn't it? Lance.
Lance, yeah. Did she meet him at H.C. Clements?
Yeah,
and that's why
he was the hiring director.
Okay, so since she never...
No, because she turned
there,
right.
She never met him. Okay.
Indeed,
okay.
Correct.
Okay.
But anyway, it's quite interesting. Obviously, she goes to the next shot you see is her getting fired at the office that her mother persuaded her to turn right for. What? You go near for? That's what happens.
You keep singing the Banana Split song, I think.
Yeah. I've just looked it up on YouTube.
Oh, right. Okay, are you looking up Bingo and the similarities between.
Yeah,
him
I think
and,
it's. Yeah. I think it's Flegel.
Flegel?
Flegel.
I thought Bingo was supposed to rhyme with Ringo, as in, hence he was the drummer.
I'm playing it right now.
No, I don't.
I
can't find pictures naming the four, unfortunately.
It's Bingo, Flegel, Drooper, and Snort. La, 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 la.
Oh,
one banana, two
banana, three banana, four. It's the orange one, anyway.
What? I was going to sing theme tune, then. Four bananas, Smiths, and so did we anymore.
Oh, it's the orange one.
Yeah, it's Bingo. Yeah,
Bingo,
you're right,
Flegel,
Bingo.
Drooper, and Snork. Yeah. La, 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 la. I used to watch the Banana Splits every Saturday morning.
I did, too.
Listeners, I'm sorry. I'm so, so sorry.
It's one of those rare American things that had a laughter track, but it actually was funny.
And how long do we have to put up with this?
What, the Banana Splits, or...?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, I can find a bit of something on YouTube and play. Anyway, I'm not going to, though. Right, be quiet. Let's get back to the episode. Right, the next bit, of course, is the bit where the hospital gets taken up to the moon and then comes very quickly back down again with only one survivor.
My next continuity question is if the doctor was with... if Martha is a part of this...
Yes.
Then... This would have happened before Donna knew the doctor, right? Continuity wise, this would have happened already.
Because the first bit we see
the runaway bride.
Hang on,
and then we get Martha after that in season 3.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's not the point I was trying to pick up on. They've gone back to Christmas when the Arachnos thing goes over, which was after Rose left. So before Martha.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. I'm glad somebody's got this straightened out.
But anyway, there's an earthquake.
Straightened out.
There's an earthquake, which all her colleagues are quite interested in. And then we see a news report of, hang on, oh yeah, the hospital disappearing and coming back in. One survivor, and of course they do make a point of mentioning that Sarah Jane Smith gets killed, so does Martha Jones. But I felt that the Sarah Jane Smith bit was sort of like added in a bit after.
Yes.
No.
Yeah, it seemed a bit of an afterthought.
Well, yeah, because I wondered, what was Sarah Jane and Clive and Luke and all that? What are they doing?
Why were they
there?
All there? But bearing in mind, of course, that they weren't in the original series. Because there was no Doctor, Torchwood would have been the ones to try and sort the Sontaran situation out, wouldn't they?
This was after only the first season series of Sarah Jane Adventures.
Sarah Jane
Adventures. And they mentioned that it's Maria who got killed,
they said all of them were killed. They said...
Maria moved out and Ronnie moved in.
That's right.
Ronnie's not mentioned. It's Maria.
Okay. Thank you very much. That's a good point. Thank you.
No, I'm saying in turn left, they're saying that Sarah and Maria...
Clyde, those... But, not Ronnie, because Ronnie didn't exist in the series.
Talking
at
the original team.
Okay,
that's fair enough. But anyway, back to the episode. Donna then has another encounter with Rose. is this the point where she says that?
It's the double leather jacket.
Well, Rose keeps looking at.
They're both wearing leather jackets.
Yeah, okay, but Rose keeps looking at her back and then advises Donna to take up the holiday prize that she's won and get out of London. Because, as we find out when she ends up at the hotel, there's a psychic nurse that can see the spider on the back. Is she Spanish or something?
Psychoness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Psychoness.
But I quite like this particular scene because... I think they're watching something, and then this is a. We bring you this news flash, and
that's a maid, not a nurse.
All right, a maid then. Who said it was a nurse? Me.
You did.
A maid dressed in a nurse's outfit. You're harassing me. Anyway, so she brings in. So they're watching telly. Sorry, let me go backwards. And a news flash comes on, and you see the Titanic heading towards Buckingham Palace, and then the picture goes blank. And then
but that's a really good scene. It's a good scene with the maid talking to, telling Donna about the insect, because, sometimes the flash is back and forth, and sometimes you can see it and sometimes you can't. It was really good.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And the mother's trying to say, Donna, come and watch this. Donna, come and watch this.
Well said.
And she just catches the end of it where, and of course, I like the fact that I think the delay is probably a little bit too short with the shockwave. I think it'd probably take a bit longer to get them, but I still like the way that all plays out and they look out.
Even though the actual country inn is outside of Cardiff, they're supposed to be just outside of London.
Yeah, but they would have been affected by radiation.
Outside. Yeah, true. Mm-hmm. Now that railroad bridge that they look at is the actual view from where they filmed. I posted a picture on the Facebook page from there.
Did you see the comment?
Yes.
Did you see the comment? That's funny.
Anyway, so they all run out of the hotel to watch the mushroom cloud. But again, great scene.
Yeah.
And Donna looks over and sees the maid sort of looking at her sinisterly.
Ooh, pointing at her.
But
that was a fantastic scene. I really enjoyed that.
Was incredible.
Oh, yes. I was going to ask if you ever watched a BBC thing called Threads, which was about a nuclear attack and the aftermath of it. It's a BBC thing. Basically, it was an anti-nuclear thing, but they created a drama about what would happen if a nuclear...
What's it called?
Threads. So from the 1980s, early 80s, I think.
What's it called?
Threads. Threads. A nuclear attack on Sheffield, I think it was.
Did you ever watch The Day After?
No.
Yes.
Yes, I saw that a long time ago, yeah.
But anyway, the family are sort of housed in somewhere in the north, and I do love the banter between Donna and the northern lady. Shut up, Vera Duckworth. Go and feed the whippets and stuff. I do love that. So funny.
And now, then the scene where they're being taken in the bus looks a lot like one of the scenes in Children of Earth.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. And also, it reminded me a little bit of the Last of the Time Lords episode, is it? The one where Martha...
Yeah.
Is that one that springs to mind?
I know what you're thinking of, yeah.
Yeah.
It's probably the same.
And there's... What was the one you said, Reese? Because there's a Dalek episode, wasn't it, where they're hiding. Was it that one? It was that one, wasn't it? Where they're hiding from the Daleks. No, actually, no. That's another one that it reminds me of. There's a Dalek, and I remember there's a scene where there's a Dalek in the street.
It's the next episode.
Yeah, so that's three episodes they've done a similar thing in them.
Yeah.
I love the character that is the Italian, the chap that.
Superb
character he is. Brilliant. That was great. Yeah, fantastic.
Now, is he in other things? He looks familiar.
Yeah, he is. I don't know what
you're saying. Herbie, that's your cue.
It's Wikipedia time.
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia.
The
Wikipedia mobile.
He was in the pilot of Sherlock.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh. Wow. Don't remember him from that.
I didn't remember either.
But that maybe is why he looks familiar.
But him and Bernard Cribbins really did bounce off each other well in these scenes.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And then we see the American newsreader. Can I just say, we got the American newsreader who appears on this. Now, I was under the impression that when London blew up, that really put an end to any TV coverage that you probably would get from the BBC. Never mind. I'm pretty sure.
She's on there because of the adipose who are now in America because they couldn't do it in... They couldn't breed in London.
That's fine, but...
Yeah,
I'm just thinking, I got the impression that they were watching. Because, Donna's watching the telly. And it's on the telly. But there wouldn't be any telly because London is the
centre. When London got destroyed.
Yeah. Well, most TV signals in this country originate from London.
What about regional centres, though?
Yeah.
I don't.
Maybe it's a satellite.
I really don't think they'd get American newsreaders coming through on regional TV.
By the way, that actor played in several episodes of EastEnders.
I've seen him. Yes, EastEnders.
He was Mr. Hendry.
Okay, that's why he looks so familiar. All right.
I've never seen EastEnders, but
fair enough.
No, neither have I.
But anyway, there's a big scene.
I have to say that through all of these scenes, that Sylvia, every time the camera is on her face. Oh, my heart just bleeds for her. You can just see her eyes gradually getting more vacant, her face getting more, down.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she was amazing.
She did a good performance.
She was one of the people doing the commentary, and she said that she's often not recognized on the street because she really smiles all the time, and yet as Donna's mother, she's always supposed to be sour.
I wouldn't call her sour in this episode. I would just call her, gradually becoming more vacant. She just isn't there. She's checking out.
The Sherlock he was in was the unaired pilot.
Okay.
So you share some many traits, Robert.
Anyway, back to the episode now. Another really good scene comes up next where they have a sing-song which keeps Donna awake, and she goes down to tell him off, and of course as he steps out of the way you see Wilf joining on the sing-song, and then of course next you see Donna joining in on the sing-song.
So
that was really, really good. It shows a sort of a spirit that that we would have in Great Britain in an instance like that. Then is it UNIT or the army turn up, and
it's
the army
night UNIT,
and basically the soldier sees something on Donna's back, and that's a very tense scene when he points a gun at her and sort of demands that she turns around. Again, brilliantly done, brilliantly acted, brilliantly played, and another shocking, scary scene.
Right.
Of course she turns around.
And the whole Atmos thing is taking place.
Yeah, that's right, the Atmos thing is. And the acting again,
Bernard Cribbins, Wilf telling the soldier off, back in my day you'd be court-martialed and things like that. He was just a protective grandfather, which I love.
Yeah,
absolutely. And of course there's a flash around the corner which grabs Donna's attention. of course.
Dang, you bit me to it.
It wasn't Jimmy Savile on this occasion. It was Rose appearing.
That's a lie.
And of course, again, the acting, which again, that's overlooked. I'm glad you mentioned about the acting from Sylvia, Donna's mum, because, you know, it is really, really good. But she does, she's got so many good actors in this episode doing the same thing. So she does, I suppose, get a bit overshadowed. Overlooked,
you don't
even.
Notice it too much.
Yeah, she's just great.
Yeah.
Really, really good. And I'm great, I'm quite pleased that she had an opportunity to show what she could do in this episode. Yes.
Sometimes when people don't stand out, it means they're doing a good job.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right.
But anyway, yeah.
Some people draw attention to themselves when they act badly, don't they?
They do.
That's right.
Meanwhile, Donna. Oh, sorry. As I say, Donna has gone to see what's her name again? Rose. That's her. Trying to get that.
Yeah.
And they have a little sit in the park and watch the sky burning while Torchwood die in the process of saving the Earth. And that's plausible, you know. Without the Doctor, Torchwood would have been the ones expected to save Earth from alien invaders.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah,
Captain
that makes
Jack.
Sense.
Captain Jack
has
didn't
to put
die
up with living on their homeworld, doesn't he?
Why would he go there? A strange place to go, but he did nevertheless.
He was transported there.
Was he?
He's a prisoner.
Ah, cool.
Yeah,
but yeah,
cool. He's going to be tortured.
No, cool as in you sorted that one out for me. And of course, Donna's still fighting against her destiny, really. But then Rose says, "In two
it's
weeks'
your
time,
destiny,
Luke, destiny,
it's your destiny." Son.
No!
speaking of bad acting.
Yeah. Anyway, next morning, well, it feels like the next morning, all the non-British people get carted off to a, well, it's a concentration camp, isn't it? Again, very hard-hitting, sad, brilliantly acted, and... Yeah. Well, a fantastic scene.
All of these scenes were quite depressing, though, weren't they?
Well, they would be, wouldn't they? But it's fantastic.
I was thinking maybe a bit much for young kids, though.
Well,
no, kids have got to be educated, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they've seen part of it before, except for the good side of it, and it just shows what happens if the doctor wasn't there. So,
When the grandfather says, you know, it happened before, or it's all happening again, however he says that, might make kids say, what does he mean, Dad? What does he mean, Mom?
And it's important that they do find out about stuff like that.
This made me very depressed watching
it. Do you know what it reminded me of a little bit? In Torchwood Miracle Day, when they started building these camps.
Oh, yes, precisely. You know,
it was a bit like that. Especially when they did the scenes in Wales when they were trying to hide Gwen's dad.
Spot on.
Yes.
And of course, this is just after that. You see that the expression on her mum's face, totally drained and exhausted, and mentally exhausted. Fantastic acting.
That's when she was commenting about.
Meanwhile, Donna and Grandad. No, not quite the TARDIS yet. Donna and Grandad are in the back garden with a telescope. And is it this point we notice the stars are going out?
Yes, I think the stars are going out.
Yeah, when she.
Oh my God, Donna! The stars are going out.
And that refers to the darkness that was discussed before about.
Yes. And of course, she turns around and then.
That's when she realised
Rose is there. Yeah.
Yeah, she made her decision then.
She made her decision, so she gets caught, taken away to. I suppose it's Rose's Torchwood, isn't she? Now, is she taken to an alternative universe, or is this in the universe she's in, but Rose is part of? I'm a bit confused at this point.
Well, she says that she has to cross dimensions to get there, and she's been doing so, looking for the Doctor.
Right, because the Doctor's TARDIS is there.
With mirrors.
Yeah, that is a good question. What universe are these? Is unit?
Yeah.
This is because I know. Obviously, we know that Rose has been crossing dimensions to get to see Donna. I was on the impression that she took Donna with her back to her dimension. Yet the TARDIS that is in that dimension is the TARDIS that they retrieved
from under the Thames,
it's they're using the mirrors to travel, though, aren't they?
Yeah, interesting time machine. Yeah.
And then, Because that's when she only introduced to the mirrors then, because she says, I don't want to see this thing or whatever, didn't she?
Then she says she did want to see it. No, I don't want to see it. I'll go on then. Again, the acting by Catherine Tate.
By the way, did anyone notice that really wonderful bit of detail as they go into the warehouse where the mirrors are all set up, and there's the those sheets of plastic to keep the cold out, there's a faded logo of unit on that plastic.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well done.
It's faded.
Wow.
It's great.
Yeah.
Is this I see it
the original unit logo or the current one?
It's the wings.
Oh, wow. Excellent. Brilliant. I hadn't spotted that. Well done. See, that's why you're on the show.
I do see it. I do. Yeah.
Anyway,
right, I love the bit once Donna's gone into the TARDIS, she just goes,
no way. Yeah.
Yes, I love her reaction.
Rose's reaction as well is quite funny.
Yeah.
And walking all around it, wouldn't we do the same thing?
Yeah.
Now, I love the way she has to make an effort to close her mouth.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. That's good. Good attention to detail. Now, this captain.
Adam.
Yes. That's the first one of the episode, listeners. First, yeah, go on.
Adam. I only said that
Adam.
Once.
Adam.
Adam. Adam.
Adam. Adam.
Yes.
Oh dear, he's lost it again.
Kirby has provided you with a teeth shot of Rose.
Alongside
the
of Bingo.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Kirby. Let's have a quick look then, otherwise I'm never going to hear the last of it. Oh, what's happened here? Back to album.
Ooh.
Oh dear. Another nice pause on the show. Hang on, Kirby.
Yeah.
You're supposed to put a picture of Bingo, not a picture of Billy. Oh, it is Bingo, sorry. Sorry, I thought it was Billy Piper with sunglasses.
That was coincidental. When I put that post of the banana splits, the screenshot just happened to be a Bingo out the front there, so...
Yeah.
Well, he is the most memorable member of the banana splits.
I like those little cars they've written.
Never mind. Yes, it was great. That
remember the Arabian Nights?
Moving on from the Jungle. Banana splits podcast, let's move back to Doctor Who.
Thank you.
Yeah, so again, when they split. Sorry, I was going to say about the captain African split, name person,
Marissa Magambo.
Yeah, she was in Planet of the Dead, was she not?
Yes, she was. Mm-hmm.
That's just funny. She is a spitting image.
Yeah, what's that?
That's the one with Michelle Ryan in it.
Planet of the Dead. The Easter one. The one that was shown.
She is the Barnet Woman, listeners. The Barnet Woman, and also she was in Series 1 of Merlin. Moving back, that's Michelle Ryan. She was in EastEnders. Yes. And she's very pretty. Moving back to this episode. That captain, the actress who plays the captain, is the spitting image of one of the chasers in the quiz show The Chase, which is presented by Bradley Walsh, who was a baddie in the Sarah Jane Adventures. There's a bit of link there, see? But she's a spitting image. I just wonder if they're related. So any listeners from the United Kingdom who watch The Chase, very good question.
Absolutely useless trivia.
She's very similar to him. She really does look like him. Anyway, it's a bit of a shorty. You can see one of the angles of her in this. She is quite short. Anyway, so the great acting again.
Hey, Reese, she was in The Colour of Magic.
No, Magic's white. He's a Westie.
She played Marchesa.
I've got that on DVD.
Oh! Yeah.
Magic's white, Kirby.
Now we're talking about something else she was in.
Anyway, as I was trying to allude to, brilliant acting by Catherine Tate when she's showing how scared she is by the fact that she can actually see this creature, and how flippant Rose is, where she's trying to make a joke of it and she's trying to find it quite funny, and that winds up.
What did she say?
She's just sort of funny, isn't she? She laughs a little bit.
It's in a state of flux. What does that mean?
That's what
the doctor would have said. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And that winds up Donna even more.
But, understandably.
Acting from Catherine Tate, her eyes filling up with tears as she's so scared.
I know.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Although her teeth don't look so good in the shot. There's lots of teeth going on in this episode, isn't there? You've got her with a slightly Bingo. Wonky teeth. You've got Bingo from the Banana Splits. And behind them, you've got Captain African name person. She's got a gnashes on her too, hasn't she? But anyway, a dentist's delight.
Never mind.
Instead of going turning left, maybe, or turning right during this episode, maybe they've just gone straight ahead to the dentist and sort themselves out. yeah. Anyway, so meanwhile, Donna is persuaded to go back in time to stop herself from turning right. And, of course, she thinks she's going to... No, that means she's going to live. And, of course, after a long pause, Rose eventually says, as she's dematerialising, sorry, or sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah. Of course, then she turns up half a mile away from where she needs to be. And to cut a long story
short about running at half a mile.
Basically has to throw herself. And it's good you actually see the truck she's got to throw herself in front of in advance of, you know, more or less straight away, I feel very sorry for the driver. That must be awful if you're driving a truck and someone just happens to throw themselves out in front of you. But it does happen, I think. And yeah, and then Rose turns up again. She transfers herself over to this reality and whispers something into Donna's ear.
Does she do that?
And then we're suddenly got lots of screams and dying beetles, stroke spiders, and cowering Chantos, who said, "What are you? What are you going to be?" And then the doctor turns up and gives, and Donna's very happy to see him, and they have a hug.
Then, what will you be, though?
And then the doctor prods at the plastic creature with a prodder, and the crass plastic creature is obviously clearly dead. And then asks Donna what's been going on, and Donna can't really remember it. It's because it's a bit like a dream, but she does remember a couple of things. And eventually, we get out of her that it was a blonde lady, and the reaction of the doctor when all the things start falling together as to who it might be. She doesn't know her name, but she does know the word Bad Wolf, and that was one of my favourite bits in the whole series. When I watched it, because I didn't know it was going to be Bad Wolf, and then she just said it Bad Wolf, and all these a hair stood up on the back of my neck when I watched it again.
Yeah, I'm getting a bit now actually.
Yeah,
yeah, and it was well done.
Super
bad.
Yes,
because it was shown later here than it was in the UK. I can't remember whether the Doctor Who magazine came out here with that on the cover. You know, they had the cover changed to Bad Wolf. So I don't know whether it was spoiled for me because I bought Doctor Who magazine before it was actually shown.
Typical of Doctor Who magazine, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know.
They do too.
Well, it was only because ABC didn't show it at a reasonable date.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Doctor Who magazine, I'm actually going to be getting the most recent one, the one with the Eighth Doctor on it.
Yes.
Because I know that my girls bought me the copy for Christmas, so...
excellent.
The one with dark eyes you're going to be getting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Because I've got the Christmas one now.
You lucky souls.
Yeah.
Anyway, well done there.
This is the one that they happen to have at Barnes & Noble when we went over there.
Are we still talking about Doctor Who? Have we gone off another tangent?
That's Doctor Who.
Yes. I have a question.
You're not going to get an answer, but you can ask
Adam,
a question.
Adam, what did you Adam.
Yes. When they run into the TARDIS and it's all red and the cloister bell rings, have we heard the cloister bell any time before this in the new series?
Yes, we have.
That's Castrovalva. I'm saying in the new series.
We have, but it wasn't as prominent as it was in this episode.
Do you remember when we saw it? Because I thought this was the first time that we've heard it in the new series.
I can't remember.
Because I know we'll hear it from here on. We'll hear it in the Matt Smith era, but I don't remember hearing it before this.
I'll find out.
Yeah, Kirby will find out. Appearances of Cloisterbell Wiki.
That's your cue, Kirby.
Right. While we have a little bit of an interlude and Kirby finds information regarding the Cloisterbell, I'd just like to say, in regards to a picture of me wearing a reindeer onesie on the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, you're all a bunch of comedians, aren't you? Har, har, har.
We're comedians, not pirates.
I love it.
Reese Parton, Flash R, Jeff Waddell, good cosplay of the Dom from Terminus. Robert Haynes, LOL. And then posts a picture of the Garm that looks nothing like me because it hasn't got a red nose. Reese Parton, it was a bit more than LOL Robert. You said you had to wipe away the tears. And I think he may have weed a little bit as well.
I wouldn't be surprised.
What?
Andy Nunny. So just a normal day then. Reese Parton for Adam, yes. Kirby Bartlett Sloan. I'll just look that up on Wikipedia. There's a thread coming out of my onesie. Reese Parton. Apparently he's got a loose thread. Jeff Waddell. Agador. Door, door, push pineapple, shake the Christmas tree.
What does that mean?
It's this song. Is a song called Agadoo.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we don't need to hear it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Alan T. Butcher, that shiny red nose may prove to be a tactical disadvantage. Reese Parton, ah, yes. And the very funny Mary Blitz Lang, Adam, you have no shame. Yes, I do. Hello, Jeff Waddell. That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Har, har,
well,
har.
Like you guys, I've got okay. the answer to the question about.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
It was heard, in the Children in Need special, but it was also heard when the Master cannibalised the 10th Doctor's TARDIS into the Paradox Machine. Sound of drum.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Also
okay.
in Time Crash. Time what? Crash.
The first Children in Need special, as far as I know, was the first scene we saw.
That Barcelona, yes.
Yeah. Just before you went a bit funny.
Well, here we go. It's at TARDISwikia.com is where you're reading it.
Yes, uh-huh. Precisely.
Right. Can we go back to...
Didn't you, Bippy?
Can we go back to this Turn Left episode? Just because I didn't actually get what people's opinions are of it. Because, again, it's a Russell T. Davis script. Two in a row. The last one was brilliant. What do we think of this one?
Oh,
this was brilliant,
this
too.
Brilliant too, yeah.
Depressing in places.
I'm sure if Ben was on the show, he'd agree, because he likes Russell T. Davis.
I've got to say, it's all right.
No, not with the Russell T. Davis script, I don't think.
It's all right.
Dear me. So, yeah.
Actually, okay, what's all you can say, really? How beautiful Rose is.
Really? Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Do you want me to tell you all the episodes that the Cloister Bell was heard in?
No. No. I'll go on then. Logopolis was the first.
First in Logopolis, Castro Valva, Resurrection of the Daleks, 1996 TV movie. Which was that when the Eye of Harmony was open. The 2005 Children E special, as you mentioned, Sound of Drums, obviously Time Crash, Turn Left, as you already know, Waters of Mars, The 11th Hour, The Doctor's Wife, and The God Complex. Mm-hmm. But has it been heard this series? I can't remember.
I don't know.
I can remember.
How did you miss that it was rang when, during Curse of the Bad Plot, too?
Was it?
Oh, it did?
Was that to signify how bad the plot was?
No. When the siren teleported the
plot's
target.
Fine.
Reese always stands up for it.
It's the editing that causes problems.
Okay. So we find out who edited that. Should we find out who edited?
So Kirby could punch him.
So we can rip into the editor rather than the writer of the episode.
The elite. The elite. Oh.
We omit.
Delete. The editing. Again, to delete the editor.
Get this to work. Hey.
What are we doing?
Does that remind you of anything?
Ah, the Cloister Bell.
Correct.
The end of the world.
Now. Back to the thing about the episode.
Yeah?
With it being... since Chanto is part of the Tricksters Brigade, Mary, did you happen to meet Paul Mark Davies, who played the Trickster?
Well, no, I didn't, because I was not a follower of the Sarah Jane Adventures, so I didn't have much interest in him, so I didn't make an effort to meet him.
Well, I hope he's listening.
You need to see the Sarah Jane Adventures. They're pretty good.
Yeah,
well,
they are, Mary.
I saw the last series just before she died, and I thought that was pretty good. But I don't know. It just
actually,
doesn't.
Some of the early ones are much better.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, like watching Merlin, that doesn't interest me much, and K-9 really doesn't interest me.
Yes.
No, it doesn't interest me either. Although I did watch K9 and Company.
Yeah, K9 and Company's not too bad.
I didn't like
Equity.
Well, I don't know. It's better than that Australian tripe.
Yes, it's better than the Australian. Yes.
I'm surprised. Is it Bob existed. Baker that produces that series? Because I'm surprised he's prepared to put his name to it. I mean, they could have done a much better job with it. One, get space it in Australia. Two, have Australian actors not trying to do British accents. And
what do you mean?
Three.
That?
What? Yeah.
Chim chiminy.
But other than that, you know, they got a couple of right things about it. I don't mind that the actual design of the dog thing. Dog robot, and I like the voice.
I don't like it.
Yeah,
and I like the fact that for the first episode, you did see the classic series K9.
That's really the only episode of that series I've seen.
It's same here, funny enough. No, I think I might have watched the second episode.
I think I've only watched about two or three episodes.
Yeah, they cocked it up big time. Oh, what did you hear?
If they'd done it like Sarah Jane Adventures, you know.
Yeah,
that sort of audience, you know.
Yeah.
Been watching the replacement series, for Sarah Jane Adventures, the Wizards and whatever.
I have not seen the Wizards or whatever. No, I don't really get a chance to watch children's.
Wondering
TV.
How it was. I have.
You're talking about Wizards and Aliens?
Yeah. I haven't seen it. Okay. I'm sorry.
No, I haven't seen it.
To try and see it.
I haven't either.
No, sorry, I haven't. I do not have the will. To watch it.
Not Doctor Who.
It's not Doctor Who. Sorry?
Yeah.
Who's Will?
William.
Will. It's like fire at Will, you know. They always say fire at Will.
What do you want to shoot him for?
Will Riker.
Yeah, Will Riker?
Maraca?
What? Right, that's it.
Hey, I have a trivia question for you hardcore Doctor Who fans. Those
don't
who know
about
the
hardcore on this show. This is a family podcast.
I missed that. My internet.
It's because
Saturn
Swansea's getting done.
Yeah, maybe there are some people out there with reindeer fetishes. I don't know. I think the trouble is, right, do you know what made, before you speak, sorry Mary, what made Deb laugh when she saw this particular onesie was the tail.
The tail?
Oh, you've got to get a picture of the tail.
I'm not going to get a picture of the tail because it's on
my. The tail.
It's behind me.
Tail.
tail.
It's currently poking through the slats in my chair. I just hope the dog doesn't take a disliking to it.
Isn't it kind of hard to sleep in?
I haven't slept in it, but it's the first time I've ever worn it. Oh. I was wearing previously a Spider-Man onesie.
Wow.
I've seen a picture of that too.
Oh, I've got a message.
He hasn't slept in it yet, he's podcasting.
I've got to try and add somebody to the call now.
So are we going to be eventually building a whole wardrobe of onesies?
Me? No, I've got three onesies. Obviously, I won't be wearing the reindeer onesie. Will you stop laughing? I won't be wearing the reindeer one outside Christmas.
I'll get you a Peter Davison onesie if you want.
It's not that funny.
Okay, so you've got Spider-Man, you've got a reindeer. What's the third one?
Superman.
Yeah.
Superman!
Oh, wow!
I've seen the Superman one, too.
Da-da-da! Yes. Faster than a speeding plane, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound.
I don't get what the two people at the beginning were all excited about when they said, it's a bird, it's a plane!
That's
why
right!
Why is that so exciting?
Oh, it's Adam in a onesie!
I don't know. I've got a fly.
I know that man. That's Adam.
Oh, the phone's ringing. This is interesting, isn't it?
You have just dialed Dollar Pete.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
He's fine. And you're very quiet, Ben. Are you on a hands free?
Yeah. Of course I'm on a hands-free!
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Ben Shoveler.
Ben!
Hello.
By the way, Ben, we've just been talking about Turn Left, which is a Russell T. Davis story. And do you have any memories of Turn Left?
Well, I do, actually, from literally 5 seconds ago when I turned left. I literally did. Just as you said that, I was making a left-hand turn.
Yeah, but did it?
The thing you didn't say right.
Did you have the choice of turning right? Would it have made any difference?
I could have turned right, but I'd have ended up in a shop. But I have now just turned right onto my drive.
Oh. Ooh. Oh, so you're home now?
Yeah, I'm home now, but I'll sit in the car and talk to you for a bit. I'll tell you why, for one reason.
Yeah?
It's because when I got in the car, and I've got my jacket on, everything fell out of my jacket pocket. And it's a new car, by the way, since the last time I've talked to you, because my last car died.
Yeah, I heard about this car dying, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was a bit of the age of that Bessie that the third Doctor used to drive around in.
Well, Bessie was 6 years old, but yeah.
Yeah, I've been in the car when you've been driving, Ben. Are you done? I've put your foot down.
Oh.
Have you? Why the fuck do I drive you anywhere?
You drove me from Winchester to St Mary's Stadium once after I did a radio interview at WinFM, was it?
WinFM?
I don't remember.
It really does stick in your mind. And you bought me chips that day as well. That were lovely.
I remember you doing the interview. I don't remember giving you a lift back afterwards,
mate. Yeah, it was part of the bargain.
You got a good part.
Yeah, I said, well, I can't do the interview if I can't get back to watch the match. And you said, oh, no, I'll tell you what. I'll take you back to watch the match. And then you blagged yourself a free ticket.
Well, I was good at doing that today.
Yeah. So how you been then, Ben? We've missed you. Well, I haven't. Reese has. No, actually, Reese hasn't. I've missed you. Robert's missed you. Kirby, Reese is feeling a bit upset.
Well,
but Robert's crying for some reason.
Stop talking over Ben.
Yeah, come on, man.
Bend over.
You've taken up 2 minutes and 50 seconds already. I only said you'd have five. I mean, if you're going to talk over me, then that's going to waste my time, isn't it? I wouldn't laugh for too long. That's 3 minutes now.
So, anyway, Christmas special's coming up soon.
Yeah, you asked me three questions. I've answered none of them. Where shall I start?
I can't remember what the first one was.
I can remember exactly the question.
Oh, go on then.
Yeah, I remember it. Apart from it was slightly disappointing for me to find out that actually Catherine Tate can't drive a car at all, and so therefore that was all done on the back of a low loading truck thing, wasn't it, or something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Very disappointed by that, but very good episode. Did enjoy it the whole time, thingy with Martha and the thingy on her back, the scary thing. And then I like that. That was good episode. There are my memories of that. Second question: how am I? Yeah, been better. Since the last time I spoke to you, I now see my little baby half as much as I used to, because the bitch of her mother started to be bitchy. Aww. And also, take me through the CSA. And interesting, by the way, the people who aren't English, the CSA, if you ever come across them, they're the biggest bunch of... And so's the mother of my child. The youngest one, by the way.
Aww.
No, seriously.
And especially coming up to Christmas, too.
She's paying me back £2,000 of money that she's already blooming well had. And I can't prove I've given her. Anyway, I'm not going to get bitter about that, because it's Christmas Eve, and you've had 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
Yeah.
And the third question you asked was... I
can't remember the third question.
You said something about Christmas.
Oh, yes, the Christmas special's coming up soon. Of course, we're going to see Jonah Louise Coleman looking... Well, I would say quite hot.
She's a very lovely lady.
She is.
But as for anything else about it, well, got Snowman in it, and Richard E. Grant. So,
yeah, and Matt Smith in what I think is a very good costume.
Mm.
And the TARDIS that they've redone.
They have indeed.
Hold on. And it might be the case it will just turn up and it will be looking all brand new and sparkly, but...
So have you seen pictures of the interior?
I've seen one picture of the top of the console.
Yeah, there's not much of it been shown. I've seen a picture of the whole thing, actually. There's a picture of Matt Smith. Yeah, some naughty person put it on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group and spoiled it for everybody, and Reese was really cross.
I didn't know.
I was just saying I was disappointed.
Oh, by the way, Reese, I did like that picture you posted the other day about the Mayans and the Doctor saving the planet. I thought that was very funny.
Oh, yes.
I shared that, because I'm down with the Facebook posse.
So you're quite rightly not expecting anything too special for the Christmas special, and you're expecting it to be a bit on the naff side.
Well, I heard an interview with what's his name,
Stephen Moffat.
Yeah, I was listening to an interview with him on Radio 2 the other day, actually. Yeah. And he just annoyed me. He just, you know, bangs on about how he's trying to make Doctor Who brilliant and back to how it was and all that kind of rubbish. It's just, oh, shut up. You're just ruining it. And, he thinks he's great and he's not.
By the way, listeners, Ben doesn't like Mr. Moffat very much. But you know when it's been a good Moffat episode, because Ben's critique of it is, of course, it's all right.
It's rubbish. Right.
It's all right.
To be fair, Stephen Moffat's done some good things.
Oh, yes, I agree.
Mm. Not enough, but
well, we did Silence of the Library in Forest of the Dead a few weeks ago, and that's one of his good things, for certain.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, no, they were phenomenally good. But that was before I developed a hate of it. It's like having someone who you starts work with you, and to start with, you think they're all right, and then one day you realise, no, they're not. And that's what it's like with Moffat. He's now the person at work I don't like.
Good way of looking at it.
Yeah, well put.
But we're hoping it's going to be much better than the last two, shall we say.
Oh, the first one of the last two was brilliant.
Well,
no,
she was okay.
Last year wasn't too bad.
It was okay.
It's okay.
Last year was alright.
Yeah.
The year before was rubbish.
They haven't really, for me, had much good stuff for Christmas specials. I could think, oh, you really look forward to it, and then it's always generally turned out to be very, you know.
Disappointing?
No, it's the way they put the special effects and the stunt casting and stuff like that overshadow.
Adam, I think the word you're looking for, Adam, is boss.
Well, so the cast in this particular episode does look quite good, and like you say, Richardy, and of course Ian McKellen.
Richardy,
and of course we get to see
who's
Jenna.
Richard Grant.
Richardy Grant.
No. Who's Richard Grant?
I don't know. Who's Richard Grant?
Oh, I don't know, but obviously Richard E. Grant's called Richard E. Grant.
Oh, maybe Richard Grant is Richard E. Grant's dad.
Richard E. like a Richard E. Grant.
Possibly, I don't know.
Why does he call himself Richard?
Maybe he does to his friends.
Very pretentious man. But, yeah. But, I don't know. I'll wait to see.
Benny
Shaveler? Hello. I was going to record you a little review of it when I get back into work one day. I don't know when I'm back next. I think I'm back in next Friday.
Oh, that'd be good. So, I love the way you said you was going to do it. Sounds like you're not going to after all.
I'm sure that was hilarious, but I didn't hear it.
No, I said you said you was going to do it, which made it sound like you changed your mind and now you're not going to do it.
No, I was always going to do it.
Excellent.
Yay!
Okay. Messi says was going to do it.
The reason that came out as a was because obviously I wasn't expecting to speak to you. Do you know what the weird thing is? I'm sitting here in my car. I've got no idea where the microphone is.
Surely it's on the phone, isn't it?
Have a little game of where's the microphone?
Well, surely it's going to be on the phone, Ben, is it not?
The voice on the microphone.
It's connected Bluetooth wireless thing through my car.
Oh. Well, so lean towards the dashboard, see if it's there.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. We're going to play How Loud Does Ben Get, okay? And you've got to try and get louder. So this is like Christmas Day, isn't it? This is party day. This is fantastic.
Yay.
And this is what you can all do over Christmas. If you get a bit bored, then someone can go and see the car with Bluetooth and find out where the microphone is. Well, I've got absolutely no idea. Right, okay.
Might be on the steering wheel.
I'm sitting in my normal driving position. Okay, I shall slowly move.
She's on the back seat.
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
No, I heard a cat meowing.
Yeah.
That was me in the back seat of the car. Massive. Right. So
is it a limousine then?
I am now at the steering wheel. Am I any louder?
No.
Yeah.
About the same.
And okay. My other thingy is it might be over here.
So I'm now
underneath the rearview mirror.
No.
Can you hear me?
No, yeah. That's gone quieter. I can hear you, but it's quieter.
Okay, let's move back over here. Have I become noisy again?
That sounds a bit clearer.
I'm moving to the other side of the steering wheel. Hello, over here.
No. I think you're probably best where you were originally.
You know what I said about this being a good game?
That's better.
Ooh, right there.
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
That was the spot. That's what she said.
What, here?
Yeah.
That's very funny, Adam, but work out your own catchphrases.
No, I'm sorry that you haven't been on the show regularly now for several weeks, and we've nicked that one, haven't we? In fact, yep. Reese has nicked
some
it more than anybody else.
Work,
that's what she said.
Some of us have
that's
to work.
What's that? Who's swearing?
What's work? Yeah, no, work, horrible. You mean?
And because of bitch face, I don't get any of my money anymore. 25% of your wages, I guess. 25% of my wages I get taken.
It's not fair, is it?
25%?
Taken out my wages. £1,000. Can you believe that? And it's appalling.
Wow.
CSA.
I can believe it.
Hey, anyway, look, I'm going to have to cut this off because I've been here for 12 minutes and 25 seconds and I'm going to get an ass-kicking from the white.
Thank you, fag.
Well, I thought you might. I did think that might happen. That's why I was getting a bit concerned about your potential health for Christmas in regards to being sat in the car in your own driveway for a long period of time.
Yeah, you're going to wonder what I was doing, I'll tell you that much. Anyway,
but I just thought it'd be a bit of a Crimble bonus for our listeners, some of which probably don't even know who you are, for you to be on the show.
Oh, the next door neighbours have just turned their Christmas lights off.
It's lovely to hear you, Ben, and look forward to hearing your review of the magnificent Christmas special, The Snowmen.
You've seen it already, have you?
I would have seen it before me. Was that the microphone there? No, it's just spot.
No, I can hear. Never mind. So, anyway. Merry Christmas to you and your little ones and your lovely wife, who we still use the jingle for sometimes.
Well,
very rarely.
I appreciate your sentiments and your condiments and indeed your ketchup. And I wish you all a happy Christmas and a merry new
year. Thank you.
And
yes.
All the people that have been tuning in to the program over the last X amount of months since I've not been on it. Good to meet you all.
by the way, congratulations, Ben, for surviving the end of the world.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah, that was always going to happen, wasn't it?
Yes.
You know what? Actually, I did feel really sorry, and I do feel really sorry for everybody, because that was meant to end at 11 minutes past 11 GMT time, yeah?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I feel sorry for everyone who actually died at 10 minutes past 11 GMT time.
Brilliant.
Yeah, hello. Yeah. That's why you need to get back.
Yes, anyway, indeed, I agree.
I can see the wife hovering with a
hatchet.
This one might hurt.
Oh.
I'll speak to you after Christmas.
Yes. Merry Christmas, Ben.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Goodbye.
Merry Christmas.
That's me getting out of the car. See
you
later, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
That was Ben Chaveler, former host of the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. I don't know how many episodes back you have to go to find them, but
and
he's there somewhere.
During all that. During all that, I put together bingo Billy Piper collage.
So you weren't particularly interested in what Ben was saying.
I was listening.
Saying.
Yeah.
Take a look at the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Jeff, what else? Hang on. Tra la la la.
Which one's which? One's just got the sunglasses on, and one hasn't. Which is Billy Piper out of those two?
Speaking
the one
of
on
Christmas,
the right, the
ah,
one.
Now I know what's happened here. Obviously, right. Bingo is Billy Piper's dad. Because he was around in the, around that time when he was on the telly, wasn't he? Well, that's why, you see. Anyway.
You know, it made me wonder when I watched this episode why this was not a Christmas episode. They showed it in June, but, I mean, it takes place at Christmas. And they reference past Christmas episodes.
Good point,
and I thought,
again.
For the people who just watch Christmas episodes and nothing else, that would give them something to reference back and go, oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
and if it had been a Christmas special, it would have been the best Christmas special.
Yeah,
however,
it would have been a good one.
The Doctor wouldn't have been in it very much.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But it would have been one of the best ones. But anyway, shall we move on to news? There has been some bits of...
Wait, well, can I pose my trivia question first?
That's right.
Go on, then.
That question like 20 minutes ago.
Well, yes. I try to. Okay, you ready, guys? The ones who know old episodes as well as new,
with bated breath.
Okay, what previous incarnation of the Doctor and what story? Was he seen wearing a red fez and holding a mop?
He was in Silver Nemesis. Silver Nemesis. It was the Seventh Doctor.
You guys are too good. You are too good.
No, I got the one right. Robert got it wrong, and so did Kirby. So no. You should be saying, Adam, you're right. You're too good.
I knew it was the Seventh, and you said Silver Nemesis over me.
Yes, you did.
Don't try and take credit.
You did.
I got there first. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yes, you did.
I'm sure.
Well, Adam did get it right, and I heard the echoes of the others right behind you. So.
No Wikipedia pages.
Credit where credit is due.
No, that was not a Wikipedia page thing.
For all of you, you're all very smart.
That popped up right after.
That's what she said.
And
that was around the castle, wasn't it?
Oh, okay.
Anyway, news. Thank you for that, Mary.
You're welcome.
We'll have to compile some more quiz questions for us. Then we can be like the Doctor Who podcast and just love.
Adam.
I was watching Silver Nemesis, and it blew me away when I saw it. So I thought, ooh, I wonder if anybody else knows.
This was a terrible story, that is. Episode, sorry.
I haven't seen it.
What?
Anyway, where do we get up, sir? I was about to talk about something. Magic.
I don't watch Doctor Who.
I thought you did.
Yeah, I thought you did.
What are we talking about? I was just about to say something.
You were talking news.
No, but I was about to say something before you were talking about. I was talking about. Oh yes, I remember now. I was saying that we could do if Mary, if you wanted to compile some more questions, we could be like the Doctor Who podcast, do quizzes and love Stephen Moffat.
Well, I just might.
That'd be good. Right. News. Let's go down the bottom of the page and see if there's anything. Oh yeah, there's a picture of Matt Smith, new TARDIS interior revealed. Never mind. It's quite good actually. I quite like it. It's very retro, isn't it? Do you mind? It does remind me of the TARDIS console from the 70s. More. Big pardon?
Yeah, seeing that it is a TARDIS console, it reminds me of the TARDIS console.
Are you being facetious?
Yes.
No, it looks more like a traditional sort of white.
Yes, as I was saying, console, like from the 70s. But, Magic, will you stop fidgeting?
But Adam, the original TARDIS console was a lime green.
No. I was talking from the one from the 70s, not the one from the 60s.
Yeah, but if you watch the early Pertwee ones, they actually use the old TARDIS
early
console.
Early Pertwee, that sounds like poetry.
So we
stayed on that subject a little bit too long. Doctor Who Night in the Institut Francais, big screen showings of Blink, Midnight and The God Complex, plus a masterclass from writer Toby Whithouse. The event, Saturday the 19th of January, is part of the cross-cultural organisation's second totally serialised season. Where is it then? Somewhere in France.
Totally what?
Sorry.
It's in London.
See?
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, sorry, it does. Institut Francais, which sounds French, but it's in London.
Well, excellent.
What? What? There's some DVDs coming out, and these sound minorly interesting. Right, we've got Doctor Who, The Legacy Collection,
This is pathetic.
Yes, all right, let me speak. Legacy Collection. I don't know what that's supposed to have on it. What's it got on it? Doesn't say, does it?
It's not scrolling properly.
Oh, does it have Sharda 30 Years in the TARDIS? Is that the collection?
Where is it? Yes.
Not sure, it I is. Think so.
I think it is. It's Sharda, which I'd like to have on DVD, although I was supposed to lend it to Alistair ages ago so he could do something. And it seems to have come out. And I think I forgot somewhere along the line. Oops. Oh, pardon me. And
now, is that a re-recorded? Is that? It says more than 30 years in the TARDIS. Is that? Did they add stuff to it, or?
It doesn't. I thought there were originally two. No, it says the 1993 anniversary.
When it was originally broadcast, when they released it on video, they added more to the video.
Yeah, I'm so sure there'll be other bonus features on it.
I'm not sure which version I have. I know I have one somewhere.
If it's the video version, that'd be the more than.
The Ark in Space Special Edition. Green Death Special Edition. I want to get around to releasing some originals, like The Terror of the Zygons, which is coming out.
I know.
The latest edition of Doctor Who magazine confirms that Terror of the Zygons will have a production-orientated commentary featuring Robert Banks Stewart, Philip Hinchcliffe, George Calasio, Sylvia James, Dick Mills. Yes, what I said. Presided over audio restoration producer Mark Ayres.
You sound like a glacier.
Be quiet. The 10th Planet Stroke Ice Warriors. Talking to Radio Free Skaro earlier. Why do they have to mention another podcast? Anyway, earlier in the year about the 10th Planet and Ice Warriors, Steve Roberts said, I don't think that either of those are actually going to go into animation production at the moment. But certainly we have transferred the existing episode of both of these stories and will be restoring them fully with the expectation that there will be an animation presumably to intertwine. And I've knocked the microphone twice in between reading that with my chin. Sorry about that, listeners. Right, movie update. Stephen Moffat has spoken a little more about how he feels about the big screen version of Doctor Who. The thing that I would find intolerable, this is Stephen Moffat, is that you get a film instead of a TV series, because the TV series is more important, and I don't think any showrunner or future showrunner of Doctor Who would tolerate the idea that David Yates was talking about of rebooting it and having a second continuity. That's just nonsense, absolutely insane, and a straightforward insult to the audience. We'd never ever do that. The question would be, how could we do it without delaying or harming the TV show? I think it could be incredibly exciting to see that TARDIS fly on the big screen. Mind you, they could do that now. It's in high definition. They could just show the TV series on a big screen. They don't need movie, in my view. It would just be, how do we arrange it, and how do we make sure we have, no offence, but you have suddenly taken American money and they expect to tell you what to do and all that. I wouldn't be happy with that, but it will happen someday, I'm reasonably confident. So there you go. Totally agree with Mr. Moffat there. Vastra Investigates on the BBC Red Button. There's some prequels.
Yeah, that Vastra Investigates is the one that people keep posting to YouTube, and the anti-B keep pulling it down.
Well, it's available. It was available in Red Button when Merlin was on. Of course, we recorded Merlin and could watch it. I don't know if it's still on there now. I'll have to have, have a look. It's the interactive digital service from the BBC.
I thought it was Rudolph's Red Nose.
Be quiet.
No, it's Adam's hat.
Yeah, it's Adam's hat.
Yeah,
it's a little red ball on Adam's hat. Yes,
it is just a cute little mini show, though. And interestingly enough, it gets back into the gay agenda.
Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
So? I love that the whole thing about writing in gay characters is that it's trying to make a little thing, not make a big thing out of there being gay characters, yet everyone's saying, oh, look, it's the gay agenda again. They're making a big thing about not making a big thing about gay characters.
More of a big thing that they're actually interspecial.
It does make a big thing out of it.
Yeah, I know, but with RTD, it didn't, but the whole gay agenda was... given a title given to his writing that he had a gay agenda.
Right.
Anyway, this is going back a bit. It says, today marks the 49th anniversary of the first Dalek serial, The Dead Planet, airing at 5:15 on Saturday, the 21st of December, 1963, though The full design by Raymond Cusick would not be revealed until after Christmas. The episode was ended with an iconic moment of Barbara's scream as she is menaced by a plunger.
We're coming to get you, Barbara.
Yeah. And there's a little video link with Stephen Moffat talking about the Asylum of the Daleks, etc. What else we got here?
Never has the rubber been more scary.
Indeed.
No, he's not. He's Some not talking about Carols. Asylum that much in that. He's mostly talking about the first story, the first Dalek story.
Uh-huh. Mm. Sontaran Carols is on there as well. No. I haven't had time to watch this sort of stuff, you know.
Where's Robert with his...
I did it for him.
There you go.
There's another teaser.
Where's my bed?
Yeah, I've posted every teaser I could on the Facebook page.
We've seen,
I can't play that now because it might wake Deb up, so I won't play it now, the teaser that's appeared on here.
Go on, wake her up.
Doctor Who at 50 wake update. Up. As mentioned earlier this month, the BFI plan to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who with a special screening each month next year in the lead up to the anniversary itself. The organisation has now announced details about the first quarter of 2013. As previously mentioned, the season kicks off at the very beginning with William Hartnell's Unearthly Child on the 12th of January. This will be followed on the 9th of February by Patrick Troughton on Two with the Cybermen, and then John Pertwee with The Mind of Evil, which is unveiled in newly restored colour. So there you go. That is the news here on the
20th of
January.
Somebody says the same surname as you, Max Pearson.
Yeah, there are a couple of us around. There's someone living in the house with the same name as me. Alicia Pearson.
Yes. He went to a convention last week and got to meet Billy Piper and David Tennant.
Oh.
Wow.
Lucky him. Mm. He's got took a photo of it too.
Did he go up to Billy Piper and say, "Aren't you Bingo from the Banana Splits?"
Well, she's standing next to him and...
playing drums,
wearing sonic screwdriver.
Oh, sorry. Yes. What should we do now? eBay?
Well, on the news, this might interest Reese, it says the Symphonic Spectacular in Sydney, Australia, hosted by Alex Kingston and Mark Williams, who were interviewed beforehand by local breakfast show Today, the Sydney Opera House itself has provided a behind-the-scenes video featuring the presenters and composer Murray Gold. So I don't know if you can see that in Australia.
I have seen that, and it was very good indeed.
Okay.
What was that? What can
there's
I see?
There's a video. What there's can you a, see?
There's a behind-the-scenes video of an interview with Alex Kingston, Mark Williams, and Murray Gold.
Mm-hmm.
So why aren't you posting
that? Yeah.
Okay. I'll see. It's a YouTube thing. I'll see if I can post it.
Oh, you can post some stuff. At least, obviously, it moves my picture
Excellent.
Of me dressed in a reindeer onesie.
No, don't post it, Mary. Don't post it.
Don't post it, Mary.
We need his picture up.
Right now, it goes to the top of the page.
All you just have to do is comment on Adam's photo and it'll go to the top.
Oh, shut up.
That's right.
Here we are. We're on eBay now. And the number one item on eBay this week is £3,800, and this is for a number plate which says DA11EKS. £3,800.
So, what does that spell?
Well, it's supposed to look like Daleks, but it's DA11EKS. I suppose if I won the lottery, I might consider getting that, and then my wife would say, "You're not sticking that on our car." So, I'd have to have my own car with it on, wouldn't I suppose? Right, and I'm just kind of scrolling down the list, see if anybody's put any bids against anything. Here we are at Christmas. Probably a bit late to get anything through the post by now.
I think so, yes.
Oh, we've got something. Here we go. This is the most expensive item on eBay with bids against it. £200, rusty dog full size, which is a fat canine. A full size canine model.
I'd rather have the proper canine, though.
Well, I'm sure you would, but I don't think it affects just £200 on eBay. No. Quite expensive, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the fraying money.
Moving further down the list. Oh, dear. I know, I must remember to get round to putting together that video I did of the Who shop in Blackpool. I have got it ready to do. I just haven't had time to do it. I've been busy doing other things. But I will get round to putting on. So, and then I'll let Dave know, and he might actually listen to the show it's on one day. It won't actually be on this show. It'll be a live. It'll actually be a video. Our first ever video presentation on the show. I know, it's exciting, isn't it? The second item.
Thanks, Race.
What?
That's all right.
Second item, number two, is original.
And I posted a video from there as well.
Yes, thank
Thanks,
you.
Kirby.
Hey? Well, you went to the Who shop in Blackpool?
No.
No.
No, we're talking about Facebook.
All right.
Yeah. We're making original comments behind your back about Facebook.
Yeah, nothing unusual there. The original Doctor Who prop, Sixth Doctor's costume, watch chain from JNT. This is obviously one of those charity things. Yeah, Sixth Doctor's watch chain. £123 currently. Bid against that. And see if we can find the third and final item here on eBay. Please feel free to talk while I... You only talk when I'm talking, but when I stop talking, you'll shut up, don't you? The third item. Official Doctor Who 10th...
Talk over you.
Now, shut up. The official Doctor Who 10th Doctor jacket, handmade tie and matching Converses. £102. And that's got three bids against it. Handmade tie, it says.
Just the tie was handmade.
Yeah, it says official Doctor Who 10th Doctor jacket, handmade tie and matching Converses.
So they made the shoes with their feet?
No, they made the tie. It says quite clearly, handmade tie. Magic. Magic. Get ready. Right, that's it. That's eBay for this week. And there's one last thing. I think one of you lot can guess what it is.
Something
beginning
with...
Ah,
it's a pirate.
Right. Come on, see if you can guess what it is. One last thing we haven't quite covered yet.
Well, you're not doing the top 30 anymore, so it's not that.
No, I'm not doing that big. Basically, because when you go on to iTunes and you click on the actual, you get to see whether an episode's come out, you know, within the last 7 days, and you go back to the previous page. It used to go back to the previous page, so you could just go back to where you were and then move down the list. What it actually does is go back to the opening page of the Doctor Who things, all the Doctor Who items, books, TV shows, everything. So then you have to scroll down the screen, go back into podcasts, then go back down the podcast list to find out where you were previously. And it took me 3 hours to compile the last charts. I didn't know that. I'm not spending that long doing a piece that only lasts 3 minutes on the show. I'm sorry, listeners, but it's iTunes' fault.
I don't care for the new update to iTunes either.
It's really difficult finding the stuff.
Yeah, it is.
You know what it doesn't do? It doesn't join. You know, if you want to join an album or whatever, like for an audio book, you know, like a gapless album, it won't do that anymore.
No, but why change something when it ain't broke? You know, it was perfectly fine. I used to find it very useful because you used to go into your music, type in a couple of characters, and it'd list all those songs. And it used to be so easy finding precisely. It's not like quickly, if there was a subject we were talking about and I wanted to play a bit of music in relation to that subject, I could find it really quickly, really easy. Not anymore. Thanks, iTunes. Whowon.co.uk was what I was trying to get you to say.
Oh, is that whowon.co.uk?
We forgot about.
Oh, we love who.one, who, whatever.
I ruin that every time.
Anyway, right. They've got History 3rd Edition coming out by Lance Parkin. It's a book. We've got Antimatter, that was mentioned last time, which is a Big Finish production starring Mary Tam and Tom Baker. Moving further down the list, I did see something quite interesting, The Reign of Terror. I wonder if you can pre-order that yet. You can. It's got a button that says pre-order.
When's it out?
It doesn't say. It just says released 2013.
I'm looking forward to that. Because have you seen the animation for it?
No, I haven't. Have you?
It looks rotoscoped, yeah.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it looks very good. Very good.
Latest products, City of Death, Destiny of the... Obviously, haven't released much of new products. You know what I want to get my hands on? The new micro...
besides Genelise Coleman.
Bit young for me. Whoa. Maybe if I was about 20 years younger. The new micro figures. No, the... Oh, it does say Doctor Who Toys and Gifts coming soon. TARDIS mug. That's not new soon. I've got one of them. Well,
you've got a TARDIS anyway, mug?
I have. Character action figures. That's what I was looking at. Little mini act, character action figures. Which are called character... Options. No. What are they called again? Those little mini character figures. Oh, I've given up on that one. Go to whowon.co.uk. You can see yourself. Anyway, it's now 10:15 in the evening. I've got to go to bed. Actually, no, what I've got to do is go into the other room, relax for a little while, have a glass of sherry.
Ah.
Maybe a packet of Doritos.
Oh, I've been eating Doritos. Sleepy. I like the Mexicana. Mexicana ones. That nice.
We got tangy cheese. We got original tangy cheese and what's the other flavour? Oh, the chili, the sweet chili flavour. They're really nice, especially in a salsa dip.
Yeah.
Hot salsa dip. Now you're making me hungry.
Welcome to the 20 megabyte food podcast.
Yeah. I've also bought an advent calendar, a Cadbury's advent calendar at the shop today because we're taking, basically we've sold. What are you laughing at?
There's that bloody season going on Facebook again.
Be quiet.
And I'm not involved with it this time.
Why'd you also interrupt my story? It's a very interesting story, this. Because we sold the last of the selection boxes, we removed all the displays for the selection boxes, and as we removed one of the displays, a advent calendar was underneath it. Just one solitary Cadbury's advent calendar, which used to sell for £2.40. I scanned it on the till. 10 pence. I bought it for 10p.
Whoa.
10p.
So and I'm you very sent pleased. It to me. Thank you,
no,
Adam.
No, it's waiting to be consumed by me when we run out really low on Cadbury's chocolate. It's ready for me to eat it. Anyway, thanks, everybody. Hope you all have a lovely Christmas.
That is lovely, Dad.
Don't forget to say something online to me on Christmas Day, because no doubt I'll be around my in-laws, you know, with my phone ready to talk to people and say Happy Christmas and everything. And then at 5:15...
Hello!
5:15 on
Christmas
Day.
If Robin and I say anything to you on Christmas Day, we'll be a bit early because it's Christmas for us, the kind of about 10 hours before you lot.
Later, yeah, much later.
Anyway, as I was saying, earlier. Yeah, be watching Doctor Who.
They live in the future.
At 5:15 in the afternoon. And then I'll probably watch it again later on in that evening after people have been talking over it, etc.
Just be greedy.
And then we'll be talking about it when afterwards, though.
When?
Yes, when?
Yes, when?
Yeah, when?
Yes, exactly. Well, and how soon do you want to do it? That's what she said, pardon me. Got wind again.
You fart!
Yes,
I'm
I did.
Glad we don't have Skype.
You said that last week. Oh dear, the dog's just collapsed. Right,
I'm still... That's terrible if the dog's collapsed.
I must admit, I did once make Alicia cry when she was very little.
They're like canaries in a mine.
Yeah, when Alicia was very little, I did pass wind very loudly and very smelly, and she started crying, and I said, what's the matter? She said, it smells too much. Anyway, as I was saying, have a lovely Christmas, everybody. Hope you get lots of Doctor Who gifts. You'll be hearing about my Doctor Who gifts on the next show. I'd like to know when we're recording it, though.
Well, yeah. What about the next day? Is everybody free?
It can't be the next day because...
No, it's Boxing Day. I work on Boxing Day. Might be available in the evening, but then that means very early morning for these chaps. Right, so that is...
So you're saying...
How many hours is that again? That's,
so you're saying Saturday, and you're saying at your time being between 12 and 1 or 1 to 2?
8 hours ahead. Is that right? 8 hours ahead of us. So if we do it at 2 p.m.,
we're 8 hours behind.
O'clock in the evening. So let's just see. Stanley, 11. There we are. So it's 9:21 in the morning, which is about 11 hours ahead. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah,
so 11 hours ahead of 2 p.m. is 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh my gosh.
I hope you enjoy recording the Christmas episode.
Oh, maybe do it 12 till 2 then. Is that a compromise?
So that'll be
it'll
8.
Be midnight by the time I get to bed.
No, it'll be more than that because we'll be finishing at 2 a.m.
I've been up all night. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, all right, but I'm talking about myself.
I didn't get much sleep the night before last.
All right, stop arguing. Normally I say fight, but I want to get off into the other room and start.
So 12 o'clock your time would make it, what, 7 o'clock in the morning for myself and maybe Kirby? Or would that make it 8?
7, isn't it?
7 a.m. for me.
So an hour later than we normally do.
Yes, an hour later. Is that all right for you, Kirby?
We've been Saturday morning sleep, I suppose. Since the Australians have to stay up all night sometimes, I can force myself to get up on Saturday morning.
Get up in the morning.
I have to live with the embarrassment of Deb's customers going back and forwards through the studio during the show, so that'd be quite interesting.
Are you wearing your onesie?
Oh, really?
No. Oh, all right.
I won't be wearing my onesie, one of my lovely Doctor Who t-shirts I'm hoping to get.
They probably think you're sitting there talking to yourself, don't they?
Probably do. But I'm not going to talk to anybody for much longer because I'm going to go. Thank you all very much. Hope you have a lovely Christmas and see you on Saturday.
Saturday. Have a Merry Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Oh,
Bye.
Services production and is a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended. I did it!